We're finally back. On today's episode of Talkin' Talker, we have rising star Sean O'Malley. And DC finally calls in.
DC finally came back. And not only that, Sean O'Malley gets DC to confess to a whole bunch of stuff that he does during the podcast that had always driven us crazy, but we never quite called him out on. But it all comes to light on this episode. What exactly is DC doing while we're recording? Why does he lose his train of thought sometimes? All those mysteries have been solved. We also, for those of you that missed us, if there's anyone out there that missed us, we'd be very surprised, but we'd also be very grateful and appreciate it. And we actually appreciate all the comments saying, hey, when are you guys going to come back? It motivates us. We finally got DC back from his whirlwind tour of superstardom. And so not only are we going to be consistently putting out Talkin' Talker every week, but we're also starting a second podcast, which is called The Startup Addict. It's at The Startup Addict on Instagram. Will be available in iTunes and all the usual places. And on that one, we're going to be talking, not as much goofing off, we're going to be talking more about turning ideas into reality. I had a company, Zappos.com, which turned into a big success, and also had a bunch of other companies which didn't turn into big successes. Some were semi-successful, and a lot were complete failures. Dennis, believe it or not, Dennis has a life outside of hot wing eating contests and cutting fingers off. And DC is even going to join us on this podcast quite a bit because other than being, as he puts it, the most amazing man in the world, he's also in the business of MMA. He's a commentator, and he has some side projects of his own. So we hope you'll follow us on that. That one's called The Startup Addict. We hope you'll continue to support Talkin' Talker. If you can, please subscribe to the podcast. We promise we'll put out more frequent episodes. And we won't disappear again. So, with that being said,
on to the show.
On to the show.
Beep, boop, boop.
All right. That's probably pretty good.
That's good.
God, we're like fucking hype men now, just selling shit.
Yeah.
DC. 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 Where you at, DC? DC sent us a text like 5 minutes ago saying, boys, we got to do this right now. So we've been sitting here waiting, and we just decided it wouldn't be Talkin' Talker if DC was here on time. So let's just start this. And it wouldn't be Talkin' Talker if Dennis didn't have a big bandage on his pointy finger. What finger? What happened to your finger?
Oh, I sliced it with a razor.
Doing what?
Work.
Work
stuff, yeah.
Work stuff. Sounds shady to me.
Super shady. I was cutting something.
Yeah. Oh, God. You were training with John Jones. Oh, man. All right. It's falling apart without DC already. So, anyways, we got DC coming at some point. We got a special guest this week. We've been gone for about 3 months. Well, let's not say we've been gone for 3 months.
Hold on. Here we go.
DC's been... He's back! Wait, we've got an incoming call. All it says is from two letters. This inbound call is from the one, the only DC. Right now, he just looks like a pink circle on our screen. But once Dennis figures out the video, we're going to see DC in all his glory. Here he comes. No, he's still a pink circle. The one and only. There he is. DC's in the house. Welcome to the Talkin' Talker podcast, DC. We figured there's no better way to come back than with you a few minutes late. We can't hear you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Dennis, we can't hear him.
Let me check to see what's going on.
Can't hear him. Dennis looks like he's chopped his finger off. We are back to exactly how we used to be. This is great. Anyways, welcome to Talk with Nick Swinburne. I'm just going to talk to myself. This is all going to get edited out unless something goes wrong.
Can you hear me?
Hey, there you are. There, yes, you're back.
We out here dripping in finesse. You know it.
We're live. We're back. Could you hear us?
I'm like Bruno Mars, you know?
A little bit.
I'm out here dripping in finesse. What are you boys doing?
Dennis almost chopped his finger off. He brought us a couple of beers.
Not already.
Yeah.
Small injury.
Yeah, which one? The beers
things
or the finger?
Hey, let me tell you something. Things don't change at the Talkin' Talker podcast.
No.
Did you guys start filming without me again?
Yeah. You sent us a text, and let me see. You sent us a text at about 6 minutes ago saying, guys, we have to start now. So we sat here for about 4 minutes, and then we said, let's just start it up. We got all amped up on the music, and you called in. Dennis, of course, hadn't set anything up properly, so we couldn't see you or hear you. But now we're back. Now feels like we went through. We basically went through the whole essence of the podcast in 2 minutes.
Yes.
And now it feels like we never left, even though it's been 3 months. So what have you been up to the past three months?
Where are you guys at?
We moved. Like, it's been so long. We're
what?
It's a brand new studio.
We're on the beach in Hawaii now. We're getting ready for UFC Hawaii. We're out here with Max.
On the beach in Hawaii. I know you guys have heard that song.
Oh, we have that song playing all the time. Let me play it for you right now. Yeah.
Hey, gotta be careful with those rights to those songs we got going.
Well, you know Max, right? We're good.
I do know Max.
Yeah, so we're good. Anything Hawaiian, we're good. What's up? What have you been up to? We haven't even talked. We haven't even done a podcast since before the Vulcan fight.
Before the Vulcan fight,
you filmed Tough. Hey, me and Dennis were talking about it. We've checked the mailbox and whatever our invite to come out to Tough, like, got lost. But we've moved in the last couple of years, so it's possible that
it's got lost in the mail. Yep. It's got lost in the mail. Trust me, I did reach out. I knew. That there was something that you brought to the table, Nikki. I knew that the boys, look, my guys were bored over the course of that time at the show. And I think Dennis would have brought some good cheer to that deal.
Yeah, you know? When you said bored, first thing I thought was Dennis. We're good.
They come hang out. He can come hang out with the boys.
And then what happened?
Help with the morale. You know, Dennis can help with the morale.
Are you some chicken wings?
Of the boys. You guys are talking about chicken wings. I've got my screen really dark right now, you know. Hey, talk after dark. I got it dark because I'm over here eating chicken wings. I'm a heavyweight now. Your boy's a heavyweight now.
Forever or what?
No, not forever, but for the time being, I am a heavyweight now. Heavyweight now. So I'm eating chicken. I'm starving. I just got back from little Daniel had a private wrestling class today. And I went and taught him and his training partner. I went and taught him a little bit, so that's why I'm running a little behind. But I was trying to rush because we got a guest.
We do. I mean,
if we're going to come back, we might as well come back with a guest. Come back with a good guest. You know, look, this guy, young, exciting, you know, he seems to be the next guy on the radar, you know. Yep. Guy that's going to be a big-time star in the UFC. And, you know, a lot of times you think that, hey, maybe it's going to be some hype with this kid. You know, I don't know if this kid is going to be what they're trying to tell me what this kid is going to be. But then I watch him, and I go, this dude's got the goods. This dude's got the goods. You know, we're not feeding you a bunch of nonsense. We're not selling you the boo-ha-ha. We're not giving you the boo-ha-ha.
No boo-ha-ha.
We're giving you the real... No, we're not giving you the boo-ha-ha. We're giving you the real deal. So I watched Sean O'Malley fight against... on the Contender Series, obviously, when Snoop did the O'Malley, and went crazy. Then I said, okay, is this kid the real deal? Then I called his fight at the Ultimate Fighter finale against Tarion Ware. And I was like, oh, you know, like... There were some things that I thought were good. Early, he looked fantastic. Looked like he was trying to get him out of there in no time. Then, in the second round, he faded. But then in the third round, I watched him really dig down. And when the fight was on the line, he really took it to Tarion Ware to pull away in the third round and win that fight. And then again, I got I had the honor of calling his last fight where he fought Andre Sukumta. And I was like, man... This is a big step up. When he actually asked for the Sukumta fight, I said, wow. I said, I thought the UFC likes this kid. I thought you guys liked him. I thought you guys wanted to get behind him, but you're going to put him in a fight with a guy like Andre who's extremely experienced, who's tough, who's good. And they said, this is what Sean asked for. And Sean knew that he could take it to Andre, and then I watched him compete, and I was like, man. This dude's the real deal. So, and he's got personality to match, right? it's not just the fighting skill. Yeah. It's not just the curly hair and the tattoos. He's got the mouthpiece. He's got – you saw this dude at the open workout wearing that colorful outfit, those pants and the shirt. And he's out there talking about his new strain of weed.
Yeah, times
he's
have got changed, huh?
Old strain of weed. I mean, this dude, it just seems like he's hitting all the right points right now.
He's definitely hitting everything. The no, that was nuts. I mean, the only crazy thing was that the guy didn't decide to take him down, but still the and I read that guy said that basically he has no idea why he took him down. He said he'd hit him and he wasn't thinking straight.
Andre's teammates were at a loss as to why he was taking him down. They were like, "What in the world are you doing, Shot Evans?"
I think we got Sean now, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Sugar Sean.
What up, boys?
Sean, how's life?
It's real good. Can't complain.
How's that leg feeling after the fight?
You know, it's feeling a lot better than I thought it was gonna. They said after the fight, I went and got an X-ray. And they said my foot was fractured before the fight, and then it just made it worse. I'm going to go get an MRI Tuesday, see if I tore some ligaments or anything. But it's pretty swollen, but I think it's healing up.
Hey, you know, I want to tell you a story. Before your fight against Terrion Ware, I was at a wrestling tournament, the Las Vegas Invitational. And you're from Montana, right?
Yeah.
There's a wrestling family from Montana. I don't know if you would know them. A little bit older. But it's Mike and Bill Zadick. Have you ever heard those names?
I have heard those names.
So I'm at the Las Vegas Invitational, and Mike Zadick now is the head assistant coach at Iowa State University.
Wow.
And he walks up to me and he goes, "You guys got those fights tonight." You know Zadick, barrel-chested, beard as long as, and exactly what you think a Montana guy looks like.
Right.
He walks up and he goes, "There's a guy from Montana, Sean O'Malley, fighting tonight." He goes, "Have you ever heard of him?" I go, "Mike, it's my job to call these fights, and everybody's heard of him because of the call that Snoop Dogg made." What did that do for you in your career? How much do you feel like that propelled you into your UFC debut?
Obviously, it helped a ton as far as like my following on social media and people recognizing who I am. But I think, you know, without that performance I put on against Alfred was a really good performance. I think I got a lot of attention from the knockout. But, you know, obviously Snoop helped a lot. But I feel like I would if I just go out there and perform, that's the most important thing. That's what's going to just keep building me as a star, is my performances.
I was telling Nick, my partner, Nick Swinburne, that when I called your fight against Terrion Ware, I saw something, right? First round, you came out on fire. Second round, you slowed a little bit, right? Seemed as though you had a little bit of an adrenaline dump. You thought you were going to get him out of there early. Fight became a bit close in round two, but in round three, you bit down on the mouthpiece.
And
you said
when
the fight was on the line, you took the fight to him. And you dominated round three en route to a victory. Do you feel like you grew in that fight? I mean, did you sense that, though, Sean? Did you sense that, this second round kind of got away from me a little bit. I need to pick it up.
Yeah, I knew that. How my style is, I go out there and I try to knock you out in the first round. That's what I'm going to come out there and do. That's what I've been doing my whole career, and that's the style I'm going to keep. I did the same thing with Andre. I was going out there to knock him out too. A few more seconds, I think I did knock him out. As far as I grew so much from that fight, learning about myself, being able to push that hard. Like, I knew I wasn't going to break in any situation, but it was nice to be able to show myself how hard I can push. And so yeah, going in that first round, blew a lot of energy. The second round, you know, I caught my second win. I trained really hard. I train, you know, I spar the same way I fight. I go out there in the first round, train hard. Second round, I end up slowing down. Third round, I come back. You know, that's something I'm just working on, being able to stay more consistent the whole fight. But I did, yeah, I learned so much about myself, and I grew a ton that night.
What is it about the lab? So I was thinking about this. Like, Ben Henderson's one of my favorite guys in MMA, and I would always think to myself, it's got to be hard enough as it is. but he likes to have his hair flop in front of his eyes and brush it back all the time, almost like, I need to make this a little bit more difficult than it is. Then he sticks a toothpick in his mouth to make it. And then you apparently just get high as a kite and then train. Like, what is it? What is it out there? Does it just seem too easy for? Is it just too easy? You guys need to add extra
Ben's
challenges.
Ben's a freak of nature. I've never seen an athlete like Benson. That dude's like, you know, that guy's he's an animal. Yeah. But I don't get high before I train. I just smoke at night. You know, I have a fucking million miles per hour going in my brain at 8 at night, just sitting there. You know, it really helps me calm down and recover from the training days. I don't really smoke during the day. That when I'm in camp, like this last few days, I don't think I've not been high. My ankle has been chilling, playing Fortnite. But as far as like when I'm on a regular schedule, I'm only smoking at night.
Yeah.
I really do use it for like medical benefits, you know. It really helps me a lot. But
gotcha.
But like I said, since the fight, yeah,
I read that you said you got the spinning back kicks from watching Connor a little bit when you were high. I was thinking you practiced the spinning back kick, but you were high watching him, and then you went and practiced.
I was just watching that Israeli, that new guy that just come up. He's
Adesanya. Adesanya.
I was just watching me and my buddy today. We got high during all day, just been watching his highlights, picking up tips and tricks. I have every tip and trick I have. I've learned from, you know, TJ Dillashaw, Roy Jones Jr. I learned from everybody, and I put that into my game. I can watch a striking technique and I can go out there and do it and make it work. So I've been, you know, I feel like that helps me. I get into it. I really, but yeah, that Connor kick, I remember he did it as a southpaw. I throw it as an orthodox. He kicks up high and then spins the opposite way, gets some momentum going that way up against the cage. And that's how I knocked out that David Nuzzo. And it was literally, I remember Tim and I were watching that and I was like, damn, that's fucked sweet. We worked on it. Literally was working on it like 4 days before the fight. That same head kick to a spin kick, and it worked beautifully.
Yeah, it's great accuracy.
You know, before your last fight with Sukum Todd, we were interviewing guys and having them meet us in the hotel, and we were having to talk to them. And I really was looking forward to talking to you because I had a question. They told me you asked for the Sukum Todd fight, and I said to the UFC, I go, I thought you guys like O'Malley. Right, I said, this is a very tough fight for a second fight. And they look and they go, he specifically asked to fight him. And I thought maybe, just maybe, this was a big step up. What was the thought process behind, I want this particular guy? Because this is a very, because of the way you beat him in the dominant fashion, I think people will take him a bit for granted. But this is a very tough fighter in a difficult fight. Why'd you ask for this one?
Yeah, I remember I was at his fight when he knocked out Luke Sanders. I was sitting in the, I was watching, I was live, and I looked over to my buddy and I'm like, I'm fighting that kid next. I wasn't impressed. I was like, that's gonna be a perfect fight for me. He's gonna be coming off this big knockout. He really could be 3-0 in the UFC. He has two close split decisions. Like, this would be a good guy. They'll give me him. And I know I'm going to outwork him. I know he's not going to be able to hit me. I literally went into that fight telling everybody, this kid ain't going to hit me. He's not on my level as far as technique and skill. And I trained way too, like, I know I'm going to beat this kid. And I went into that fight with that going through my mind, and he didn't touch me. I think he threw he had a little flurry, two-punch flurry, landed on my arms or something, missed, but I knew going into the fight he wasn't going to be able to be fast enough, and his techniques weren't as good as mine to be able to hit me. So I was super confident going fighting him.
What did you make of that fight? Now that you look back and a little bit of time has passed, what did you make of your performance?
I'm just like that Therrien fight as well. I was super disappointed I didn't get the finish. It, like, the extra paycheck's nice. The fight of the night's nice. He should thank me for that, by the way. He didn't do shit for that fight of the night. That was kind of weird. And I wanted the finish bad, and I didn't get it, and that drives me nuts. Like, my last two fights both aren't finishes, so kind of it sucks.
You hurt him bad in round one. Bad in round one. It seemed as though it was like a little bit of a pullback shot, right? Left hand or right hand? I can't recall exactly right now, but
those are my right hand.
Pullback right hand, and it hurt him bad. Mm-hmm. How are you at just such a young age, Sean, so confident? I mean, I watch you walk into the Octagon. It seems as though you're kind of owning the moment, right? You own right. the moment. You own the build. I'm at a loss for how are you so comfortable in this? I mean, this has been a whirlwind. This has been 6 months. This mm-hmm. is not something that's been going on for years. It's been 6-9 months that you've been in this big of a spotlight. How are you so comfortable in these big spots?
Also, I think a big thing of it is like I've had over 30 fights total, kickboxing, MMA, amateur, pro. I've had over 30 fights. So I've been fighting for a while since I was 16. And I feel like I know how to, it's hard to explain. I feel like I know the thought process before going into a fight, and I know how my thoughts need to be. I know my self-talk needs to be super confident, counter every negative thought with positive thoughts. And I just create this mindset going into the fight that I'm going to kill this dude. Or this guy's gonna kill me, and I'm at ease with that. Like I'm okay to lose. It's okay. It's not I'm not scared to go in there and lose. I have no fear of that. If I lose, I know I'm gonna grow from that loss. And so it's just that alone doesn't make it scary to lose. Like I know I'm gonna be a better person if I lose. Win or lose, I'm gonna be a better person. I have that mindset going into the fight, and I'm at ease. I'm ready to go out there and do what I worked hard for 6 weeks to do. So,
Sean. Third round, you kick him in the arm, and it seems as though you can't stand up. But Andre Sukumtat starts wrestling.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
What in the world were you thinking?
That was very stupid of him, but in his defense, I still would have probably knocked him out with hopping on my foot. He was not on my level skill-wise. Even 1 foot, he was hurt. I hit him in the body. I hit him in the body a ton. I was keep kicking him to his body, way out of range. He couldn't counter me, and I was just hurting him. I was scaring him. I was too fast. I was hitting him. He wasn't seeing it. So I think even on one leg, you know, there's, 2.5 minutes left? I would have been fine. I don't think he would – I think he would have shot anyway just because of what we were doing. I mean, yeah, I see everyone giving him shit for that, but I hit him a lot. I hit him hard. I hit him to the body. And he wanted to take it to where he thought he could beat me. So that's where I saw that.
You thought he was safe. You feel like he took you down because that was his only safe space.
I worked my way up to the feet because I was ready to scrap with him. I was ready to fight. I was ready to try to knock this dude out.
I called the fight and I told Joe Rogan. I said, Joe Rogan, you are obligated in this situation to maintain a fighter's posture or the referee has to stop the fight. When you're hobbling around like that, Sean, if you can't stand up to fight him, the referee may have to stop the fight, but he didn't even give himself a chance. And you think he did that because even hopping around, you feel you could have got enough behind your shots to put him out.
I mean, realistically, probably put him out on one leg, probably not, but I think I could have outstruck him on one hopping around on 1 foot. My footwork would have been enough to beat him in that moment. In that exact moment, after beating him for 12 minutes, beating him up, hitting him where he couldn't be in that fast, I don't think he could have done anything to me on the feet with one leg.
I think, DC, you got to define, too, because Dennis is pretty damn sure that the crane pose is a fighting stance.
So you that is true.
Right?
Also.
I mean, it worked out well. You know? Come on, you're like
Cobra Kai.
This wrestler bias where he's like, "Hey, you got to be in a fucking three-point stance, else it doesn't count."
Hey, listen, I am the guy that is well versed in the rules, and I'm just asking Sean because I'm a fan of Sean.
No, you're so jealous of the long limbs.
Could he have maintained the position of a fighter to stand there? And he's saying he could, and I believe he could because everything he said to this point, he's done.
Yeah,
I have no reason to ever doubt Sean O'Malley because he's done everything he said he's going to do. With that being said, Sean, where do you turn your sights to next? What do you want next? Before you call that Andre, what do you want next?
Yeah, something I've been really, the last few fights, like after the fight, I've just really been enjoying. Because when I'm in camp, not even when I'm in camp, when I'm not injured, when I'm training full time, which is, you know, 90% of the time, unless it's after a few weeks after a fight when I'm sore. My brain just constantly, you know, my whole life revolves around fighting. Since I wake up till I go to bed, my whole life revolves around fighting. So these last few days, it's been really, I can't even drive anywhere. So it's been nice to just not really think about Well, it's been hard. I've been thinking about it, but I've been better at not really thinking about what's next. So I've just been smoking weed and playing Fortnite. It's been really nice because...
What is Fortnite?
It's just real nice.
What is Fortnite?
Fortnite's an Xbox game. You play with your... I play with my buddies. I play with my fans a lot. I get messages on there on Instagram asking them to play with me, and it's a cool way to interact with them and know them on a personal level. So it's real fun.
You know what I'm doing right now I'm eating chicken wings. Got to be honest. I just saw Nick trying to take pictures of me eating my wings. But also, I'm playing on my Xbox. I'm trying to find something to purchase, and you're telling me this Fortnite is a good purchase?
It's actually a free game, and it's like the most popular video game in the world right now. It's insane.
I can't believe you got DC. You're the first person to get DC to admit that he plays Xbox while we're doing this. If you listen to the podcast ever, there's always a time where he's like, and we're like, fuck, he's playing Xbox again. He'll never admit it.
That's okay. I've done a bunch of interviews the last few days while I've been playing Xbox.
I can't, dude, I'm addicted. Since I was a kid, I played video games. Now, look, I played some shit that wasn't even in existence once you hit the Earth, Sean. When you got onto Earth, there were no Ataris and Nintendo. You know, that shit had been going out of business. But since those days, I've been playing video games, and I can't stop. My wife even says shit like, okay, Daniel, you're going to go play your stupid video game? I guess I'll pull out my Barbie dollhouse. I'm like, get your fucking Barbie dollhouse. I don't give a shit. I'm going to play my video game.
Speaking of kids games, how did you, Sean, how'd you get started? I mean, you're basically all you think about, all you're doing is fighting. You sound a lot more mature than you know your age as far as in the fighting world. Yeah. Like, what got you doing this?
I was, I think, 15, 16 years old. My buddy asked, in Montana, there's no real legit gyms to train at. They're just not. He said, you want to go to a fighting gym, like learn how to fight. And I was a little dude, and I was just getting into high school. I think I was a freshman or something. And I was like, yeah, sure, that'd be, you know, cool. I was super unconfident, just kind of like wore a hoodie every day. Just like I wasn't quiet, but I was super unconfident, super insecure. And fighting really changed that. Once I realized I could whoop someone's ass, it gave me that self-confidence. I walk, not to be even a dick about it, just be able to walk into a room and be like, wow, like I'm a bad dude. And that, like, just, and I realized training, I could whoop someone's ass, and I loved it, and I loved that feeling. And I just never really stopped. And I moved to Phoenix when I was 19 years old. I've almost been here for 4 years. And all I've been doing since I moved down as an amateur, I wasn't making money fighting, but I had local sponsors that were helping me, that believed in me. And, you know, I told them, I'm like, I'm down here training full time. I'm not partying. I'm never partying. I was always training twice a day, every day. And I improved a lot in those 4 years. I skyrocketed. I went from the worst guy in the gym that literally didn't know how to wrestle to I'm in the UFC now, like getting big fights. And so it's been cool watching my progress, and it's nice knowing, like, all you have to do is train and practice, and you can get good at it, anything. So it's fighting really, you know, molded me as a person.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm jealous. I've never walked into a room and thought I was a badass. And Dennis is still wearing a hoodie, so I'm trying to figure out.
I'm still there, guys.
Hey, okay, so I know you see that Nick likes to make fun of Dennis. That's kind of what he does. And the fans of our podcast now, Sean, know that Nick is a bit of a bully. He picks on Dennis. He made Dennis eat these hot wings that put him in the hospital.
who would win in a fight?
Oh,
it'd be a gentleman's draw.
Dennis, Dennis hands down would kick Nick's ass.
Yeah, probably.
I go low. I go cheap and dirty.
Yeah, I'd bet on Dennis.
Sean, he's a germaphobe. So all you gotta do is just like lick your hand and try to pass it in Nick's face. Yeah. His ass is out of there.
And Dennis always got like duct tape covering like a big wounds. Cut or Lots wound or something. So I wouldn't be down.
So Sean, hey man, you know, you've done some tremendous things in a very short period of time, and I am so happy to say that I've been able to call two of your fights. I hope, and I know that all the guys that I call the fights with, genuinely fans of yours, myself, John Anik, Joe Rogan, real big fans. We've been honored to call your fights. Hope that we've been doing a good job in telling your story. And, man, look, we wish you all the luck in the future. We're not going to keep you long, Sean.
I actually have one more question.
Oh, Dennis has a question, yeah. Sean.
Okay. So this is rare.
This is rare.
This is rare.
Wait. Sean, this is unprecedented.
Yes, this never. I don't think he's ever asked a question before. You've fascinated him.
So would I be in worse shape smoking with Snoop or wrestling DC? What do you think?
You'll die either way, Fry.
How'd you do it, Sean?
How you want to die? Fry smoking with Snoop is more fun.
That'd be a good shirt. You'll die either way.
Sean, how'd you do it, though? Like, really, like, how'd you do it? How did you sit after the fight when you're in shape? You're in shape when you're in the fight, so you have to have probably laid off the smoking a little bit. But then you go and you smoke with Snoop Dogg. How did you do it?
It's a weird memory. It feels like it's a memory. It's real hard to explain. I felt like after I knocked that kid out, I knew I was getting the contract. I just had a natural high. I was just pumped. And then Snoop's bodyguard said, "Snoop wants to see you in the trailer." Like I was on another level before I even got in there. And then I got in there. I was in there for, I think, like 15, 20 minutes. It wasn't too long, but he was constantly had a joint in rotation. There was like everyone standing up had a joint. You just puff it and pass. I don't know why we didn't just keep our own. But you just puff and pass. And just, everyone in there had it just constantly rotating. So, yeah, after I remember walking out, I found some glasses in my bag. So I was like, oh, my, I got to get some shades on. So I found some glasses and I walked out and there was like a bunch of cameras, like a bunch of like the UFC staff and my mom and my coach. And, like everyone standing out there and I walked down like I felt like just smoke just went out the top of the door and I felt like I was in a movie and it was a weird, weird feeling.
That is amazing, man. Talk about for a young guy to go into a situation and experience that on the first night. Nothing could surprise you anymore going forward when you've been through that, right?
Yeah. That was even after my last after party. It was unlimited, very, very quality marijuana, unlimited joints, dabs. There was even a juice bar there. Get your veggies. So I had the ultimate recovery. After I got back from the hospital, I went and got a Medicaid and drink some juice. So.
I was looking at that gold glove joint and I couldn't even figure out how the hell it worked.
I looked at it, smoked it, couldn't figure out how it worked either. There's 90 grams in there, so.
Jesus. That'll be Dennis's next challenge.
Yeah.
Oh no!
During one podcast, Dennis, dude. You could do it.
You are going to kill Dennis.
It'll be the lost episode.
Sean, hey man, thank you so much for joining us. Look, you're a young guy on a Friday night. I know there's many things you're gonna be doing better than hanging out with us, but we appreciate you giving us the time. And man, I look forward to the next one. I really, really do. You've got a tremendous skill set. And you've got a tremendous skill set, and you've got a big future ahead of you, man. I'm excited for you. Thank you again for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate you guys having me. And as far as plans on a Friday night, I'm just going to smoke some weed and play some Fortnite. So,
hey, Sean, have you developed that strain yet or no?
What's that?
That Sean O'Malley strain, is it complete yet or no?
Sugar Show OG? Yeah, it's complete. I got some. You want some?
This guy's out of his mind. Thanks again, Sean. We appreciate it, brother.
Yep, have a good night, guys.
All right, man. Hey, Sean O'Malley, he's got the goods, doesn't he?
That was awesome.
He's got the goods, right? He's like a young kid, you know, just kind of really having a good time, man. He's enjoying the whole ride. It's crazy that he is in this position. It's crazy how quickly he has done this, man. It's been an honor to witness, I tell you.
It's also crazy how he's just on the way up embracing smoking to like the nth degree. It wasn't that long ago that Nick Diaz is like, let's get, you know, it's like
Nate Diaz 2.0.
I want to ask him, like, are you bringing more pressure on yourself as far as like the testing and all that stuff? But I think it's just times are changing and.
Well, it's legal in Vegas now, so.
Yeah, that's crazy. We lost TC for a second. He's texting and playing
Xbox. No. I'm just saying, yeah. No.
Oh, wait, no, the screen froze. That's funny.
Yeah, the screen froze. Yeah. No, listen. So it's legal in Vegas, legal in California. I mean, it's easily accessible. And I mean, Nate Diaz held it up on Fox.
That was pretty sweet.
The other day. Yeah. How insane was that?
That was pretty gangster. That was pretty gangster.
No, that was pretty sweet. There's only one Xbox game that I've played recently. You should get this one.
What is it?
It's called Overcooked.
What's Overcooked?
You just run around and like you pretend like you're working in a kitchen and you're like a team and you got to make pizzas and shit and hamburgers.
No way.
It's pretty
like,
good.
It's like taking the stress of a restaurant and putting in a game.
Dude, it's pretty good. Like, my son's always like, play Minecraft, play this. I'm like, no. And then we start playing this game. I'm like, fuck, one more time. All right, one more time. Why? One more time.
It's like restaurants don't keep you busy enough in a restaurant that you have to pretend to own another restaurant. No, are you kidding me?
It's pretty good, dude. Next time we're together, we'll all play it.
Dennis, I'm not playing that, dude. Like the lettuce. All right, let's get to something more pressing. When in the hell did you guys change studios? I see that thing in the back. It looks like you guys just took a picture. Hey, what the fuck is going on?
Well, we got a light box where the logo will go, but Julio was going to get the transparent thing to go on top of the light box, and then his explanation was, this is what we got. So we got a printout that he apparently stuck it with a magnet to a whiteboard. He also gave us two cameras, and he left us a note that said, you didn't erase it. It says, hit red button to record, then erase this.
Yeah.
And the other one says, push power.
So where is this new studio located at?
Right downtown Burlingame, right where the office is, right near Nacheria. So we don't have to go drive out by the freeway. So you could just.
Why'd you move though? Why did you move? I don't understand. Does this place have air conditioning?
It does. Yes, and this is where the office was. This is where the office is. So we figured, it'd just be easier. We're already right here. We're in the conference room. And then Dennis set it up. And then we said, hey, it'd be better if you put it in that room over there. And he's like, fuck, I just set it up.
So when are you gonna get some memorabilia in there? Like, hey,
we got a couple things. We got to load it up a little bit.
Yeah, load it up, man. Our last studio was that place was. I've gotten a lot of compliments on how nice that studio was with the Warriors gear, and I think we got to mix it up a little bit.
We got a couple things.
All Warrior stuff.
Yeah, we got it. We got a Curry jersey. We got a Thompson jersey. We got a KD Sonics jersey. We got the We Believe poster. I'll bring the rest of the stuff over. We'll get Isaiah Thomas back up there. We'll get some more posters.
I'll bring one of my cutouts. Like, I got a life-size Monster Energy cutout I'll drop over there.
Of you?
Yeah, of me. I'll be in that.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do with that?
Stick that right in the back.
We can do a lot of things with it.
That thing's even better.
I think that sums up the thought. Hey, let's decorate. We'll do some cool decorations. Hey, I'm going to bring a life-size cutout of me.
I do. I want it bad. I want myself in there so that when I'm actually in there doing the podcast, I could look at myself doing the podcast. Right. That's some pretty good shit right there, huh?
Now, we'll get it decorated. We'll get it ready for the Q3 podcast.
What's Q3 podcast?
Well, we did the last one was Q4. This is probably the Q1. We figure you'll probably big time us again until Q3, and then we'll have – so we got what, 3 or 4 months to get this thing set up?
I don't know what you're talking about by Q.
So what? Dude. Tell us about some of these experiences that you had. Tell us about some of the stuff that went on. You had a lot going on. How did you end up going for, first you defend the title, then you do the show, then you always said, "Oh, I'm not going to be a heavyweight. I'm not going to be a heavyweight. I'm not going to be a heavyweight. I'm going to be a heavyweight." Like, what changed your mind there?
All right. So, I go to Boston, and Boston's a great experience, but man, I told Dana afterwards, I go, I'm not fighting in any cold weather places anymore because this was ridiculous. The weight cut was so challenging because it was so cold in the gym that I had to use to make weight that last 4 pounds, man, I cut weight for about 3 hours to lose 4.5 pounds. And I really had to work. So not doing that anymore. Then, get to the fight. And the fight kind of goes like we had trained for. If I could get the guy down, we felt like we had a real clear advantage in the grappling, and it showed itself. I mean, at the end of the first round, we almost got a submission. Second round, got the takedown, got the crucifix position, ended up getting the finish. That was I needed that. Like, I really, really needed that fight, man. After July, with me losing in the fashion that I lost in, I really, really needed a fight where I could go out there and do my thing and have some success and just win a fight. And in that type of way that I had won some of my prior fights, you know. So I really needed that fight, man. And after the fight, it was very good for my confidence and everything. And so I get home, and, you know, Selena and I are just kind of getting started. We're getting ready to go into our post-fight type of hibernation, right? So we just kind of chill.
No visuals, no visuals, please. Just keep it.
No, not sexual, moving. Not sexual hibernation. Like, come on, I'm talking about you know, watching TV hibernation? Shows. Yeah. We pick like.
What are you watching?
We pick like a few shows and we just watch them. Like we went through Game of Thrones and seven seasons in about 4 months because
don't get me started.
We just didn't have anything to do. You know, we're just kind of hanging out. We'd sit around the house and. Sometimes we'd go to the gym. If we weren't going to the gym to work out, we would just sit around the house and watch Game of Thrones. And we did that for months, you know, just kind of enjoying the time that we had together. And then after that, we started to do that. But then on Monday, I got home Sunday. And on Monday, I got a call from Dana saying, I want you to fight Stipe. And I'm like, I'm not really into it. You know, I'm good.
Had there been any mention of it before the fight? Like, hey, maybe we'll talk about
he
this.
He said, or? No, he said it. He said it right after the fight. He was like, hey, how about you and Stipe fight? He goes, you know, that'd be a good fight. And I was like, whatever. You know, I'm not worried. I'm not really thinking about that. All that other stuff. And then he goes, hey, I want you to do the Ultimate Fighter. And I want you to fight Stipe. So I write to him. I go, nah. Then Wednesday he calls me again, and I go, I want to fight. I want the fight, but I don't want to do the show. And then he tells me, he goes, what if I make you an offer you can't refuse? And then the dude makes the offer and goes, I'll see you next week for the start of the show. I was like, I got to talk to my wife. I was like, let me talk to my wife. He's like, I'll see you next week. When can I expect you in Vegas? And he kind of knew, you know, he had made an offer that I was definitely not going to say no to. So I got my crew ready, told them all that we were going to be doing the Ultimate Fighter. And we shot out to Vegas, man, went and did it, had a great time. The show was fun. Stipe's a gentleman. He's a great guy, had a great coaching staff. But my guys overperformed. I mean, from Rosendo Sanchez to Bob Cook and Javier Mendez, Leandro, Chris Camacho, DeRon Wynn, Kane was there the whole time, like just as an assistant, just to pay me back for me going for him when he was on the show. It's like my guys overperformed, man. They did a great job on the show with these kids managing a tough situation. And, you know, all these guys are married, you know, their wives aren't happy that they're gone for a month in Vegas. And they just did a great job of managing everything that came with doing the show. And we had a phenomenal time. It's going to be a good season.
Nice. And I didn't realize your family didn't go until afterwards when you said had to get back to the family.
They came at times, but a lot of times, like me and Kane, man, we were trying to come back to the Bay Area. It's an hour flight. You know, it's not like we were flying 2, 3, 4 hours. We'd hop on a flight after some fights, or if they had an afternoon off, we'd come home and try to spend time with our families and just bring our kids to school. You know, like it just means a lot for the kids, even if their dads are just there to drop them off at school the next morning. So we did that. And it was great, but I'm happy to be home, Nick. I mean, I am happy to be home, man. I've traveled so much over the course of these last month and a half, 6 weeks. It's been insane, like Vegas, Louisiana, Boston, San Jose, Orlando. Even at the time that I was on the show, I called two fights commentary. You know, so I've been just crazy busy over the course of the last 6 weeks. But I love it. You know, like I prefer to be busy than to just be sitting around not doing anything.
Yeah. What's this WWE Kane stuff? He keeps wearing the mask. You said he's never going to do it. He said, I'll do it anytime. Like, what's going on there?
I didn't know, but, you know, he got the bug, man. He's very interested. You know, I was telling based on what I thought. The reality is I didn't know. He got the bug. When he went to the WWE in Vegas, dude got the bug, man, and thought that he loved it. He loved every part of it. He loved the show. He was really into it. He had a good time, and
I always thought that you're, you know, I think we always, I always said you were going to be, what was it, Bobby the Brain Heenan, or what was the other guy, Jimmy Hart? You're going to be the manager, right? Because you said you, we asked you once, and you're like, ah, oh, I'm too old to do that. Like, you're going to be the manager. I'm calling it right now. I think you're going to have a masked Kane fighting with DC as his manager, running around and then jumping in and interfearing with the fights. I think I just blew the whole plot of WWE for the next 3 years.
That's something that I would do. You know, I'm not really into fighting. I think like going into the WWE and trying to learn it and do everything would be too much for me at my age. But I'll be a manager.
Be a manager would be pretty sweet.
Or somebody like that. Yeah, you know, a physical manager. You know, every now and again I jump on the apron, hit somebody with a forearm behind the head.
Yeah,
I'd work stiff though. Like they got a term for people like me. You know, we work stiff. We're like Brock Lesnar where. You're in the fight, you know, and you know you're kind of doing the show as it's meant to be, and then you end up bleeding a little bit, you know, catch a couple right hands. Like, bro, I work stiff, man. I don't think guys would really want to work with me.
Yeah, I think you're Captain Lou Albano. He had like Cyndi Lauper back in the day. Dennis will be your Cyndi Lauper.
That'd be sick.
Dennis will be out, running around. It'd be perfect.
That would be awesome.
I hope that.
So what have you? What have you boys been up to, man? What have you boys been up to in the time that I've been away? I miss you, boys.
What are we doing? Dennis had a couple birthdays. What have we been doing? Messing around, working on some new projects, trying to get a coffee shop started.
Yeah.
Talk to me about those coffee shops.
Surf Cat Coffee. We're gonna start some delivery. Trying to keep the Nacheria restaurant running.
How's that going?
It's going pretty good. Dennis went over there and got us some beers. We got some beers for the podcast here that he apparently – I didn't know you could walk in a restaurant and grab beers out of the fridge and walk out, but Dennis
I do it all decided the time.
You could do that.
Pretty much any restaurant.
You were talking today. Maybe we'll do this we have a good time on this one. Maybe we'll do another podcast where we talk about business stuff, kind of focus on that, show that we're multi-talented. We're not – you know, Dennis and I aren't just complete morons.
No, we should. I mean, we should. You know, you've got some ideas. See, that's the thing about you. Like, you constantly got stuff just floating around your head, ideas. And I think maybe it's time to start some of those things in motion. Yeah. A few more, right? Let's just keep throwing stones in the fire and see what catches.
Yeah, we're just sitting here throwing jabs, hoping that we can land a haymaker at some point.
I want to be, hey, I just want to throw my jab, and then hit you with the right hand like Sean O'Malley. You know, it's the power in that right hand.
I'd have to be pretty close for you to hit me with a jab.
No, actually, I'm
When he was talking about how he takes something from all these different fighters, I was like, man, my favorite boxer when I was growing up was Tommy Hearns, because I always felt like he just looked like a badass, and he always came up just short, which I guess I could relate to, in the biggest fights, right? Like, in certain eras, he would be the biggest guy, but he's got Sugar Ray, he's got Marvin Hagler that are bigger than him.
He was in such a tough era, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was like...
The Motown hit man. Tommy Hearns had that Jerry curl.
Yeah.
He was a mean looking
guy. And he
guy.
Looked like, crazy.
Like, he didn't want to run into Tommy Hearns walking down the street somewhere.
No, I got a painting of him on the wall at home. But he, I was going to ask him when he was saying he takes a little bit from all these guys. And I was like, you should take, you know, here long and lean. You should take something from the hitman. But then
Tommy Hearns.
I figured he probably did, you know, he's.
Watch Tommy Hearns. I watched Tommy Hearns and Hagler fight. One of the greatest fights of all time. It wasn't very long.
Yeah, it was like the greatest, like, was it three rounds? Or
three rounds,
yeah,
dude.
It was the greatest, like, 10 minutes ever.
I was like, what? These guys, they just want to rip. They just want to rip each other's heads off.
Yeah. And then Sugar Ray, but yeah. Marvin Hagler always came out the best of all of them, but I just was never a fan for some reason. I always
Hagler was the man. Give respect.
No, he was awesome.
Give
he was the
respect.
Best. He was the best, but he was a... I always like the hitman. I like Sugar Ray too.
Sugar Ray was good, but he's a little pretty. He's a little pretty for my taste. You know, I was really drawn to Hagler and Hearns, and especially Hearns, you know, being from Detroit.
Yeah.
Just kind of seeming like he had that street type of upbringing. See, with Sugar Ray, it was almost like it backfired, right? And then it's crazy because I find myself in the same type of situation, right? I come from the Olympics. I'm in the UFC, and it's like a lot of stuff has just kind of happened for me, you know, like quicker than most guys, things have happened for me, as did with Sugar Ray. But I hated Sugar Ray. I felt like he was like, I was like, this dude got the red carpet rolled out for him. And I'm pretty sure there are people that think about me going, this dude got the red carpet rolled out for him. But I hated Sugar Ray for it. Nick, I, I learned something about myself in Vegas, right? I wake up in the morning and I walk into the main house because I was staying in like a pool house, right? I had to separate myself because I do very bad with roommates. I would wake up in the morning and I would go and seek out my coaches. And I would try to do or say something to just absolutely ruin their entire day. From 9 a.m. at 9 a.m. in the morning, Nick, I'm trying to ruin their day. Like, seriously.
Like, give me an example.
I don't know. Just go up to somebody and just say something horrible. Like, just something horrible.
Sounds like
to
a try and, yeah, that's great.
Nick, I actually realized, and then I got a friend, my buddy Deron. He was just like, he was just like me, right? He's like a mini me. So me and Deron walk around trying to ruin everybody's day, man. He'd get up in the morning, knock on my door and go, DC. I'm like, what? He's like, you ready to ruin somebody's day? I'm like, what? He goes, all night I've been thinking about what I could do or say to just make somebody miserable. I'm like, oh my God, you are ridiculous. He's the, Deron Nguyen, his name is Pork Chop, right? Because he looks like he's short, right? You know Deron Nguyen? He's very short.
Yeah.
215 pounds. He looks like he just eats pork chops all the fucking time. Like, he's just like a pork chop eating little son of a gun. And so we always call him the Pork Chop. And we'd be like, what you want to do today, Chop? He's like, I just want to go ruin somebody's day. So we'd go seek out Rosendo or Camacho or one of those guys, and we would just badger them until they just were having a horrible day, and then we'd leave them alone. And it made for the time in Vegas to go a lot faster than I actually thought it was going to take.
I think you just probably gained a whole bunch of fans during that part. I mean, you, you know, we just had, you know, we had this super likable guy. It's like, I just play video games and get high. And then DC's like, I just try to fuck with everyone and ruin their days. Dennis is speechless.
I'm speechless.
Oh, yeah.
How dare he?
No, you know, the thing is, though, like, I think it's going to make me a little more relatable because
there's a lot of dickheads out there.
I think most people wake up in the morning wondering, how do I ruin someone's day?
Yeah, I think probably the half the population.
You do, Nick.
Least.
You do.
Yeah.
You just wake up. You wake up.
I wake up and I tell my son he's got to go to school, which ruins his day. So thing, I guess it's about
you
the
wake
same
up
thing.
Yeah. And nothing makes you happier than telling him, hey, get ready. You got school this morning.
That's
and
true.
Then when he starts kind of tearing up, it just me you smirk like I got his little ass again.
Yeah, go right outside the door where he can't see me and then just
just fucking despicable. You are despicable, Nick.
Unbelievable. What's your
I mean, how do you find so much joy in the pain that you and me to a much lesser degree cause Dennis? I mean, I don't understand. How do you find so much joy in that?
Dennis comes in here physically hurt, and so I think we're just providing distraction from that for him. We're doing a service to Dennis.
That is true. I do get hurt quite a bit.
Why, Dennis? Why?
What is Dennis?
I work with my hands, and sometimes I try and do things too fast, and I end up, you know, hurting myself. Just like the chicken wings, I eat them way too fast.
So yesterday we went down to L.A. Dennis and I, we jumped on a plane, and I'm like, hey, when we get there, we're going to work out. Because these couple guys are going to meet us at the base camp in West Hollywood. We're going to work out. He's like, really? We have to work out when we're down there? I'm like, yeah. So I look like an idiot, right? Because I got on the plane in my workout gear. So I got, like, my Dethrone fight shorts. I got my tights on. I got my long sleeve, like, whatever, moisture-wicking shirt. Like, I look like the kind of guy where you'd be like, look at this fucking guy walking around the airport.
Like, this guy works, is doing chin-ups at the airport?
But I was worried that we might get to the gym, like, a minute before the class started, and I was like, I don't want to have to change. Like, fuck it. And also, there's a breakfast burrito you got to get at SFO before you leave, and I'm like, I don't want to drip that all over my clothes for the meeting later. I'd rather drip it on my gym clothes. So I go through all that. Basically, the two guys who were supposed to meet us both flaked. One a little earlier, one right before. I don't think they were actually ever planning on coming. So Dennis is like, all right, what are these guys for the gym? Like, oh, they both flaked. He's like, so I could have been drinking beers all morning. And he's like, so we're not going to work out now? I'm like, no, we're still going to work out. So we went through the workout, just annihilated ourselves, and then had to sit there, and Dennis had to listen to me talk for like 3 hours. And then and then we were like, what time's our flight back? It was 5:35.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll call Uber. What time's our flight? And we realize we board at 6:10, and we're in Beverly Hills. We're like, how fucking long does it take to get from Beverly Hills to LAX? So we got to the airport at like 6:36.
Yeah, we had 5 minutes.
Our flight left at 6:50.
Really?
So.
Really?
Yeah, it was rough. We were sitting there like, we're not gonna make it. We're not gonna make it. We're not gonna make it. But you know, we were in normal clothes now. We were good. We'd already worked out.
Yep.
We were good to go.
What did you guys do? Southwest.
Virgin.
Oh, and then, yeah, because you guys
play. And then listen to this. Dennis is our AV guy, right? He knows everything about AV stuff, audio, video stuff, no problem. We get on the plane in the morning, and he's like, fuck, I forgot my headphones. I'm like, well, there's a pair of headphones right there in the seat back. And he's like, all right. So he gets the headphones out. He goes, where's the TV? I'm like, the TV's in your armrest. Pick it up and you watch it.
Yeah.
Like, all right. And then he sits there and he's like, I'm like, you know, I'm just sitting there listening to a podcast. I got my eyes like, you know, closed most of the time. I keep looking at him. And he's got this end of this cord to the to the Virgin headphones. And he's holding it in his hand and he's keeps like kind of like rocking back and forth and looking at the TV. There's no, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, where do you plug this thing in? I'm like, you've never been on a fucking airplane? You plug it in on the front of the seat. So he leaves down. He goes, oh. So then he like, all right.
Geez. It's all these wires. That's on primitive.
The way, yeah, that's on the way down there. And then the way back, the waitress comes up and she's like, what can I get you? I'm like, what kind of beer do you have? She's like, I got Heineken and I got 21st Amendment. I'm like, ah, fuck, I'll take a Heineken. So Dennis is like, I'll take a vodka soda or something. So yeah. She comes back. She goes, you guys want another drink? And I'm like, yeah, I'll get another beer. And then Dennis is like, what kind of beer you got? She's like, I got Heineken and 21st Amendment. He's like, all right, I'll take a Corona. It's like, what the fuck? Like, and she, that was weird. I think our mics got all weird. She looks at him and she's like, your choices are Heineken 21st Amendment. Anyways.
Dennis wasn't even trying at that point.
No, at that point he was just, you know.
He's like trying to piss somebody off.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I got a coffee to make sure it wasn't me that was like hearing everything wrong. Anyways, it's good to be back.
Yes.
We missed you. We're glad you're back in action. We're doing this every week from now on. Hopefully
1,000%.
Talk and Talker every week. Hopefully we'll get the other podcast going every week.
We need
too.
To.
That one's the Startup Addict is what it'll be called.
Startup Addict.
So you can follow us on Instagram for both, and we're going to do that. We're going to start recording them twice a week.
Twice a week.
Because when you have trouble committing to once a week, what you do is you commit to twice a week.
We'll make it happen.
All right, DC. Did we lose you?
Can you boys hear me?
Oh, now we can.
Yeah, something got this.
Okay, during my time away, I got to be honest. I've kind of shit on the equipment. I took it on a few trips with the idea that I was going to do a podcast. We never did it. It sat in the fucking closet in Vegas this whole time. Someone must have stepped on it or something, so my equipment's shit now. So I got to come into the studio to get some new equipment. I'll pay for it because I know that I should not have fucked this up. But, yeah, I'm going in and out. I don't think the audio problem at the beginning was Dennis anyway anymore because I just believe my equipment's shit at this point.
Hey, mission accomplished. You just ruined Dennis's day. So you did it. It's not just the voice.
I can't hear you guys again.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's put an end to this thing. Let's get that song going. Hold on. Well, we'll mix that in later. All right, DC.
Boys, I appreciate it. Hey. I know this is a quick one because you boys are on the fucking shit list with mamas. The mamas at home are pissed off that you're out on a Friday night doing a freaking podcast, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like, why are you doing a podcast at 8 o'clock on a Friday night? Well, because DC had to, you know, do this and this, and then he felt like doing this and this and this. So DC decides everything? Well, yes.
That just gives me more reason to want to do it every Friday night.
Your equipment is going crazy. All right. That's a good ending. All right. See you next week.
All right, boys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Ocean, now I understand. Love is like the open sea. And I wish you were here with me. On the beach in Hawaii. About you every day. Don't you know I miss you much? Don't you know I need your touch?